She's been blind since the age of 7, but she didn't let her disability stop her from going on and accomplishing her dreams, even working on space shuttles and missiles, for real. And she also became an advocate and a pioneer for accessibility change in the workforce. You're gonna meet Isaac's mom, Bea Shapiro, the inspiration for the Inspiration Foundation on today's episode of Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-CEOs of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro. What's going on, Isaac?
Evan, good to see you again.
And Mike Gesser. Mike, how are you?
Great, Evan. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, especially because we have an amazing guest here today. She is the inspiration for the Inspiration Foundation. She is a pioneer. She's also Isaac's mom. She is Bea Shapiro. Bea, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bea.
Thank you for inviting me. Glad to be here.
We are so excited to have you here because without you, there is no Inspiration Foundation. There's no Clean Logic. There's no this. So you are the person who brought everybody together. And you have such an amazing, inspiring story, which is one of the many reasons why I'm so excited to talk to you today. Let's give everybody a little bit of some background on Bea here. So Bea lost her vision when she was 7 years old and went to a bunch of schools and got into, you know, when she started working, noticed that there were several deficiencies when it came to accommodations for people with visual disabilities and took it upon herself to say, you know what? I'm not going to just deal with this and let this go. I'm going to be the person that creates the change that's going to help give more people opportunity to work. And she made a humongous difference and great change. And she is a leader. She is a pioneer. And we are so glad and so fortunate to have you here with us today. Bea, really, thank you for doing this.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So Isaac, since she's your mom, why don't you start off by giving us a little bit of background on Bea and kind of telling people what your experience was with Bea growing up and why she inspired you to kind of put together the Inspiration Foundation. And honestly, you know, one thing with your company, Clean Logic, which makes premier skincare products, what you've done so well is you've done such a good job of, you know, putting Braille on the packaging and making sure that your products are inclusive for everybody. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about why, you know, how your mom impacted you and why you decided to carry this with you and make it such a core tenet of your business.
Yeah, no, as we talked about in the first episode, just what did my mom leave me with? It's about purpose. And just to get deeper in it, it's about discipline, sacrifice. A lot of the things that I watched my mom do when she created a tech training program at the Tucson Association for the Blind, watching her build it from the ground up with one computer, bringing state funding and seeing the program. And that's what I've really seen is watching my mom be able to basically defy when people say no or you can't be done. She's been able to do it. And so that's where I feel has helped me become a social entrepreneur and where we're at today of helping individuals with disabilities live independent lives.
Yeah. So Bea, let's start at the beginning. So you lost your vision at age 7. Before that, you could see typical, right? You had full vision.
Basically, I was sighted, you know, from, I guess, day one to my seventh, a little bit after my seventh birthday. And basically, I was reading a book and I was sitting there and all of a sudden it was like the middle of the day. The sun was coming in through the window and it was very bright and everything. And then like somebody had come in the room and turned off the lights. It's just like totally darkness and stuff. So it was like all of a sudden, just from one second to another is when I had lost my vision. I started calling from my mom, and they did not know what was going on and stuff. So I ended up in the hospital, running all kinds of tests to see what really went wrong. At that time, they really didn't know. They thought maybe I had some active nerve damage, but they did not know. After being in the hospital and coming home, I basically, to me, maybe I didn't realize what was going on, but at the same time, you know, it's like, well, I'm coming here, got home, everybody tried running to me, trying to pull me everywhere, come this way and stuff. And basically I was telling people, leave me alone, I can do things on my own, you know? So I don't know if because I wanted to be independent or because I was just one of those kids that like to be not behaving so well, you know? So
I think you're a tough independent kid is what it sounds like. But that said, like, it must have been really scary to be a small child like that, and all of a sudden the lights just go out. Were you scared?
No, it was, like I said, it was just one of those things. I remember it very well, you know, that it was just dark and I didn't know what was going on, you know, so.
Yeah. Did they ever formally diagnose you?
They, the years went by, you know, I did not get officially diagnosed until I moved to Arizona in the 80s. It turned out that I have a rare case of retinitis pigmentosa. And retinitis pigmentosa, usually people, is a progressive condition that it can start from when you're young. Some kids lose their vision. But the majority of folks start losing their vision when they're in their teens or even later in life. And it can turn into no vision at all by the time, you know, when it gets very progressive, people lose their. And most people have lose their peripheral vision. So they have central vision most of the time. I was the opposite. I lost my central vision and I could use peripheral vision. What I did not mention earlier is through the months and stuff, I started gaining some of my vision back. So from being totally darkness, I started, you know, seeing. So I got to the point to where I could read large print and see colors and see, you know, objects and stuff like that, but I could not see facial features. But most of my life I've been like that, having my remaining vision and use my remaining vision to get around. So,
wow.
How long after the initial incident did it take you to start regaining some vision? And what was that adjustment like?
Well, I mean, I maybe because I was, you know, a kid not realizing what it was. I mean, to me, it's like all of a sudden I started seeing things again and stuff. So to me, it didn't dawn on me. Oh, wow. You know, I can see again. I can start running around again and not bumping into things and stuff. Because I always use my, you know, remaining vision. I'm going to say it was several months, maybe a year, that I started, you know, gaining that vision.
So can I maybe start leading us to where I think is some of the most incredible things about, you know, one, being half Mexican, growing up in a Mexican household, with, you know, a lot of strong, I call them my tías and my abuelita, like they were a big impact. And I think what's amazing is how my mom went to school in the U.S. And mom, just maybe explain a little bit about, you know, Mexican culture, especially how a lot of people, you know, hide their children instead of putting them out in the schools. There's not a lot of resources. Take us through how the family helped get you to the U.S. and how you, you know, started going to school.
Well, I did go to public school, you know, I continue to go to school, my second grade and stuff. After second grade, the school says, sorry, we cannot help your child anymore. We don't have the resources and stuff. So, and at that time, Mexico really didn't have any special schools to send your child to a blind school. So my mother was a teacher. So a lot of my schooling also was kind of like homeschooling. And then there was a lady in Ciudad Juarez, which is the border town of El Paso, is opened a little school. She was an American person, and she opened a school to help blind children and stuff. So I went there, but a lot of the stuff, it was mainly from my mom. We got books. They were Braille books and stuff. So I got my school books in Braille and stuff. So I started, but that wasn't enough. So my mom wanted me to go to school. You know, she wanted me to get a regular education and stuff, but said, where can we send you to school? So she wanted to send me to school in the United States. And basically, I ended up going to school at Alamogordo, New Mexico, School for the Blind. So, but I did not start a school. I went there on my ninth year, you know, ninth grade, basically my high school years. So right. All the stuff that I have learned was from my mother and the other little school. And I walked into the school not knowing a word of English. The first thing they gave me these Braille books. I learned how to read Braille, but in Spanish. So I learned, these books were in English. So I did not know how to read English.
I'm chuckling a little bit because what a situation. You come from another country, you don't speak English, you're blind, you got to figure out Braille, and then you got to catch up socially and academically. Like, the cards are all stacked against you, yet you somehow figured out a way to achieve, overcome, and dominate, and actually get to a point where you changed the industry, you changed the workplace for a lot of places, and we're going to hear all about that when we come back on Driven by Purpose. All right, welcome back to Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with the co-CEOs of CleanLogic, Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser. They're also the CEOs of the Inspiration Foundation, which, Isaac, tell everybody what the Inspiration Foundation is.
Yeah, the Inspiration Foundation is a nonprofit 501c3 that started as a nonprofit to help blind and visually impaired individuals in funding tech training programs across the U.S. And as you'll learn more on this show, and how we're trying to now increase employment for individuals with disabilities by 10%. And one of those ways we're doing it is through the Inspiration Foundation seal. And you can learn more about it at inspirationfoundation.org.
Okay. So one of the people who is so important in the Inspiration Foundation is your mom, Bea Shapiro, who is with us right now. We just got done talking about her childhood. She went blind at the age of 7. Moved from Mexico to the United States to go to school, not speaking the language, figuring out Braille, catching up, all that stuff. And then, so B, you graduate or you finish school and then you decide to enter the workforce. What was it like for you as a visually impaired person entering the workforce at the time where I would have to imagine that resources and accessibility for people with, visual disabilities must have been a really difficult thing for you?
Well, it was. I mean, I started going to college, and part of it, I wanted to, work part-time. And so my first job interview, my official, we all did stuff in high school where you did school study jobs type of thing. But I went for my first interview, and I figured I can go and do something. And I'm sitting in the lobby with a bunch of other people waiting to be interviewed. And the receptionist was talking to the person who was doing the interviews on the intercom. And she says, oh, the gentleman says, well, how many more people we have? And she says, oh, there's only one more person to be interviewed. But she's blind. You know, she said she's blind. And the guy immediately, I guess he didn't realize he was in the intercom. And I said, well, just tell her that we already chosen somebody. I mean, we're done with the interviews. So, and unfortunately, that was back in late 70s type of thing. So the ADA, American Disabilities Act, was not around and stuff. So I guess I did not feel like I needed to file a lawsuit or something. So I just continued, you know, going to school and stuff.
You probably dodged a bullet there too, because you don't want to work for somebody who doesn't understand the difference between blind and hearing impaired. that's crazy.
And I'm a firm believer that things happens for a reason. Basically, I ended up, you know, going to school and stuff, and we're still in New Mexico. And then I signed up with vocational rehabilitation in New Mexico, and I said, okay, I'm going to try to go to, you know, get a job and stuff. So I ended up working at Five Cents Missile Range
as a
telephone operator. And it was very nice because, you know, I learned a lot, not just, you know, doing a job or anything, but meeting people and basically interacting with, in those days, the space shuttle was very, very popular. So I was one of the people connecting and listening to what was going on in the space shuttle while it was on space and stuff like that. So it was really good. I learned at that time, there was not a lot of assistive technology like they have now. I did have one piece of equipment that it was the Opticon. It was a camera that you run the camera over paper, and that's how I read all my information. And then the raise the letters on a little platform where I would read, you know, the what was on my papers and stuff. So that one was provided by vocational rehab. But then also White Sands, the people in White Sands were very, very helpful, very accommodating. And when we moved to Arizona, they were very sad to see me, you know, go, because they said I was one of the top workers for that office. So
you went from these non-intelligent people who pass on you because they were discriminating against somebody with a visual disability to working on a program connected to the space shuttle and missiles. Like, that's amazing.
While they were on mission too.
While they were on mission. That's incredible.
Yeah. And I think it's a reminder, you know, especially in today's political environment, you know, hiring individuals with disabilities, the government's been a leader in it. They've been doing it early on. And I think what we're doing with our business and the other companies that we've been talking to, the government's doing it for a long time. And so we need to continue to support our government, have a strong government, because they have been invested early in a lot to learn from what they've done back in the 70s and 80s, and where I still think they're hiring a lot of individuals with disabilities today.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And, you know, moving on to the next part of Bee's career after she finished working for the government. Isaac, I know we were talking about this before, so maybe help me understand this a little bit better. But Bee, you went into another job where there's something where they kind of forced you to make a choice.
Well,
where,
you know, sorry to cut you off, but is basically coming to Arizona, I thought they told me, oh, don't worry, you know, working for the government, you're going to be able to transfer your status and to one of the two military bases there in Arizona. Well, it didn't happen. So then I started, I went to buy something at the local blind center. That's how I learned about Tucson Association for the Blind. And then I started doing some volunteer work and stuff, and also, you know, continue going to school and finishing up my degree. And I saw that there was a need for, there was nothing to teach people how to gain skills to go to work. That's at that time, the talking computers and stuff like that starting to come about, and nobody was there to teach these folks how to use a computer. And that's how we decided to help Tucson Association for the Blind. Our family, you know, donated a computer, or actually a couple of computers and stuff.
Wow.
And started, teaching and doing and bringing the state of Arizona also provided us with some grants to buy more technology, because we were serving not just blind, visually impaired folks, but other disabilities as well.
So you saw a need in this. So in other words, you saw a need in the community. You said there are a lot of people with visual disabilities who aren't getting the opportunity to train for real world jobs. And you said, you know what? I'm going to do something about this myself. And you got your family involved. They donated computers and you started this program.
Yeah. And I,
that's amazing.
Then I changed my degree because I wanted to be a special ed teacher. And basically, instead of being a special ed teacher, I decided to go into computers. So that's how I started using the computers and teaching computers and learning more about teaching people with disabilities and how to use those computers so they can be ready to go into the workforce.
You know, I think where my mom's leaving out her real career is just that whole entrepreneur building something around something that she had purpose around. You know, when growing up, I watched my mom work long hours. We brought it to the dinner table. I probably knew more about the business side because we would talk about it at the dinner table. And so we would spend weekends there when she had projects to do. So it was like having a corporate mom that really, like, you know, dealing with employee issues, you know, your clients. So being at home, it was literally having a business. Even though my mom partnered with a nonprofit, she did a lot of amazing things that she had to build from the ground up and didn't have enough money. Then you got to go find new money. So it was just something that I watched growing up and seeing that was just a big part of what I know with my mom, not just the teacher that, you know, she's talking about today.
Well, her journey really is embodies the show, right? Driven by purpose. Like, B, you at some point recognize that your calling was to help other people with visual disabilities and help them, you know, pay it forward, really. You took what your experience, you understood what you could have used, and you said, you know what, I'm not going to let other people, I'm going to make life easier for the people that come behind me. And you did that. And my question for you is, when you had that aha moment where you realized, this is what I want to do, this is how I want to help other people, how did you take that and then, like, turn it into what you actually did, like from an idea into actual reality?
Well, basically, you know, Arizona really didn't have any technology centers and stuff. And my dream was to bring a technology center in Arizona. So Tucson Association for the Blind and me, you know, brought the first technology center in Arizona. So we did. I did a lot of stuff. I went to a couple of other centers in the United States to see how they were doing their trainings and what they were doing and stuff. And basically, I learned from that, but I also wanted to do my own stuff. One of the areas that we encounter is when people were training, they did not have technology. Vocational rehab will purchase the equipment, but sometimes it took time for those individuals to get
to learn
equipment. So basically, at that point, we decided to also incorporate a loan program to lend computers to these folks that they were waiting for their technology, so they did not have to go, you know, wait for that equipment, and they can go to work.
Amazing.
And
it's incredible.
Can I add one funny thing real quick about going and visiting those centers? Because I take my kids and we go do a store check in my world and go to a store. So I'm rarely allowed in a store. But our family vacations were spent, hey, we're here in Virginia. Let's go check out the other, you know, agencies and see how I can improve. So those are my early days of how I learned how to, you know, do store checks. But it was just even our family vacations evolved around how can we make the Tucson Association for the Blind program better.
It's incredible. Mike, you were going to say something?
Yeah. So B, listening to you tell the story with these types of details, none of this surprises me. And I feel like what you've done, you've modeled such an incredible entrepreneurial like style and behavior for Isaac. I see like you saw the idea, you know, you needed to, you know what you needed to do to get done. And you went after, you know, different things like the loan program. Hey, here's a better way that we can get computers and technology to people that need it. And you kind of set a path, and it's certainly right. Impressive. None of it surprises me because I see what you've done and how you've essentially taught without teaching Isaac. And I see it from Isaac every single day in Clean Logic and in Inspiration Foundation and Inspire Media and all of these things. So I think this is absolutely amazing what you've done. And I get to live it too, because I work with Isaac.
Well, one of the things is not just teaching people, but it was making a purpose for people in life, because some of these folks that came to us, it was someone who lost their vision due to an accident, or kind of like myself, that all of a sudden they lost their vision and stuff. And at that point, they did not know what to do. They thought everything was over. And it was the most rewarding thing that it, besides, you know, providing what they needed, it was very rewarding to hear that, thank you for opening our eyes, you know, opening a way to have something purpose in life, you know, to get back and basically be back independently and going back to work.
And you didn't let anything stop you. And I think that's the spirit of entrepreneurship, is to find what you want to do and go, and just whatever gets thrown your way, keep going.
It's a good point, Mike. We have to go to break really fast. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up with B. Shapiro. So stay tuned on Driven by Purpose. All right, welcome back to Driven by Purpose. I'm Evan Rosenbaum, along with Isaac and Mike, and our guest, B. Shapiro. B, this has been an amazing conversation. I have a couple questions for you because we're running out of time, so I got to make this quick. But number one, Braille. How tough was it to learn Braille? How long did it take you? I'm intimidated by it. I'm not going to lie to you. I see Braille and I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I can figure out how to do that. But what was it like for you?
Well, when I learned Braille, I was right after I lost my vision, but I learned Braille in one day. I learned the whole method, you know, because Braille is made out of six dots. So you basically make all the letters out of these six dots. So dot one is the letter A, dot one and two makes letter B, and so on. So to me, I learned Braille right away. To me, it wasn't hard and stuff. So
I should not be afraid to learn Braille.
Nope.
Okay, that's good.
So basically, Braille to me is very important, you know, because even now there's a lot of people that question, why are we teaching Braille? Braille is not something that people need in life. And to me, is not everybody is going to use Braille. They're going to read a lot of books and stuff like that. But it's for a lot of people, you know, labeling a can of soup or something like that, you know, to identify something, it's good enough. And it's Braille, it's very, very, very important in the lives of blind people.
Okay, so leads me to my next question. You know, Isaac and Mike with Clean Logic made it, you know, it was very important to them to put Braille on the packaging. So that said, when you think about the man that Isaac has become from the child that you raised, like, what are your thoughts? Let's have a mushy-gushy moment. Like, tell us, you know, you must be so proud.
Well, to me, I mean, Isaac, it's my life. I'm very proud of him. For him, he's always been, not that I want to say something bad about him, but
you can if you want
he's
to.
He's been very stubborn, you know, and he.
Hey, that's news for Mike.
So no word, no for answer. So basically, you know, he grew up being a very determined individual, and he never took no for answer. And I think, as he says, maybe it's because of me, learning from me, that I never take no for answer, you know, and that's his work.
When he was a kid, did you see these traits in him? Did you have any idea he would turn out to be an entrepreneur, a social entrepreneur?
Well, to me, it was very surprising that he wanted to go into his own business. But at the same time, I wasn't too surprised, you know, because he wanted to be Isaac, you know, basically determined to be successful in life.
It was either CEO or bodybuilder, right, Isaac?
Yeah, bodybuilder.
Mike, I'll let you
gossip
have the last
artist,
question,
gossip
buddy.
Artist.
Yeah, yep.
I like that better.
So I have a question. As a father to a daughter who is disabled, and where my main goal for her is to help her live independent and successful, to the most independent and successful life she can, what advice would you give to her and to other children with disabilities?
Well, in the world of learning to work with people with disabilities and stuff like that, we say there's always, we have to have the team approach. We have to be cognizant of who is in the team. The main person in the team is the child or the individual, and the other folks will be like the OT, the AT, and the PT. So we always have to have the team approach, because those are the people who are going to help the person with a disability to be successful in life.
Yeah, takes a village.
It does.
Well, look, it has been such an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show, B, and thank you for everything that you've done, not only for the Inspiration Foundation and, you know, the way you've guided Clean Logic along as well, but everything you've done to help make the workplace a more accessible place for people with disabilities, because that's what this is all about. Everybody deserves a shot to live a happy and fulfilling life, and you have been made a tremendous impact in that space. So thank you so much for being here and telling your story.
Well, thank you for inviting me. And
yeah,
remember the team approach.
Team approach. Absolutely. All right. That is going to do it for us here at Driven by Purpose. Isaac, tell the people where they can go to find more information about the Inspiration Foundation.
At inspirationfoundation.org.
And remember, if you like the show, you'll let you watch it. Of course, you love the show. It's the best show out there. Go follow us on all the social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, we're everywhere. Go find us, follow us, support, share, tell a friend. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.